Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. We read this passage at Christmas because it teaches us to expect Christ. Here at South Lake, we have a tradition of lighting the Advent candles in the weeks before Christmas. We light the candle of hope, peace, joy, and love. And then on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle. This year, we chose to preach a series that taught us what to expect through each one of the aspects of Christ. The aspect of hope, peace, joy, and love. When you look at the table in front of me, you can see that the Christ candle is in the center of the table. It's to remind us that Christ is the center of our lives, the center of our faith. Because of him, we can expect hope, peace, joy, and love only because of who is at the center, our Savior, Jesus Christ. This shapes how deep we appreciate Christmas. Without Christ, there is no hope. We looked at hope and saw that it is Christ that gets you through this life. It is in him that we find and have hope. Romans 5 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Christian hope is securely based upon the words and actions of God. The promises of God have proven to be dependable. The resurrection of Jesus becomes the ultimate basis for hope. Since God has already overcome death through Christ, the Christian can live with confidence in the present. No matter how dark the present age seems, the Christian has seen the light to come. Without Christ, there is no peace. By allowing his son to die on the cross, God made a way not only for man to be saved and reconciled to him, but he made a way that man can experience peace both here on earth and in the future to come. His peace allows us to have peace with God, peace within ourselves, and peace with others. We learned that Jesus leaves his peace with us. In John 14, Jesus says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Without Christ, there is no joy. Biblical joy, true joy, is a fruit of the Spirit and is not something that can be created through our own efforts. The level of our joy in our life is proportionate to the level of our faith. Jesus says in John 15, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." We learned that it is only with Christ that we can experience true joy, and his joy is something that we can take with us. And this morning, we learned that without Christ, we have no understanding of love. We learned that God's love is that perfection of the divine nature by which God is eternally moved to communicate himself. It is not mere emotional impulse, but a rational and voluntary affection, having its ground in truth and holiness and its exercise in free choice. God demonstrates this as we read John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Because of his great love for us, we are to love others so that they might come to experience the love of the Father." So as we look at the Christ candle this evening and we reflect on him, we give thanks for all he has given us and all that we can expect from him. This Christmas, expect Christ in the manger. Expect Christ to walk this world with you. Expect Christ to go to the cross for you. Expect Christ to forgive you. And then expect Christ to give you a new hope, a new peace, a new joy, and a new love. With this new appreciation, this new understanding of Jesus, let us worship him by taking communion this evening. I want to read from Luke 22. Luke records this. "When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And Jesus said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Allow us to set up communion, and when ready, just simply come forward and receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ this Christmas Eve. Romans 10 says this. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. This evening, we're gathered here at Christmas, and we use these candles to remind us of what Christ gives us. We've spent the past month walking together, looking at a new hope, a peace. Maybe it's a peace we've never experienced. Maybe it's a hope we've never had. Maybe it's a joy that has left us. And maybe it's a love we've just never received. There's a whole world waiting to hear this message. A whole world that instead of getting caught up in all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, instead of making plans elsewhere because it's convenient, they're here worshiping with us, worshiping their Savior because they love him. Church, you have a mission. This world needs Jesus. All you have to do is share the gospel with people. And it is so simple. It starts with just a single person. It's like dropping a stone in a mill pond. You have no idea how far those ripples will carry. But I want you to pay attention tonight and see what one spark can do. We're going to lower the lights. And Jesus takes the gospel and he shares it with the apostles. He teaches them first. They walk with him. They come to know the gospel to be true. And eventually the apostles share it with others. And as they do this, the message of Jesus is carried around the globe. First around the Mediterranean, and then to other countries and other continents. hope, I pray, this warms your heart this evening. We call it a tradition. It takes me back to when I was dating Maggie and I was first introduced to a candlelit service. There's incredible love in this room tonight. Look around you. See how a single candle, just one, can break the darkness. It's a powerful statement of the light of Christ. May it burn brightly in all of your days. If you would like to receive a blessing this evening, would you just simply hold out one hand like this? Southlake, this is a beautiful time of year. May your heart be filled with hope, with peace, with joy, and with love. May Christ guide you all the days of your life. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.